Welcome back to the Monday edition of Down to Brass. That's just 5 minutes after noon. As we cruise our hop to 12:30, we're going to continue to talk to the executive director of Biba, Mr. Carmel Haynes, and of course the president, Mr. Derek Cummings, as we look at Global Business Week 2020, adapt, evolve, execute, lead the change. So we've been talking a lot about the whole idea of the blacklisting and all these different things, what the implications, and looking at the WhatsApp, there are other implications as people try to transfer money, pay mortgages, do business. So I want to come to those. But before we do that, we have a call on the line. I want to say good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Corey. Good afternoon to Carmel, as well as Derek, and congratulations on Global Business Week. I would have missed, first of all, I should say who I am. This is Kevin Hunt, Director of International Business, and I would have missed some of what was said before, but some parts that I heard, I just wanted to call in, just in case our listeners weren't quite grasping the different nuances of the two listing processes. And I understand that you would have gone into the fact that there were two separate processes relative to AML and the tax blacklisting before, and how it plays in with the EU. So if I can be really quick and hopefully be extremely clear, let me deal
Kevin,
with the tax. Yeah, yes, please.
Yeah, can we make sure your authority is clear? I'm just speaking. So Kevin Hunt is the director of the Ministry of International Business, dealing directly with these issues within that ministry. Just want to make sure persons understand who's speaking.
No problem. Thank you, Derek. Yes. And my yes. remit only relates to the tax listing. The AML yes. listing falls under the purview of the Office of the Attorney General, but the Ministry of International Business, along with other regulators, are involved in that process. Now, in relation to the tax listing, you're quite right. We were reviewed by the Global Forum of the OECD in relation to exchange of tax information. And yes, it was for a previous period. This is not anything that took us by surprise. It was and is in the methodology, and we know what the period under review was. The situation was at the time was that Barbados, under a previous review, we had some legislative defects. But we corrected those legislative defects, and all of our legislation is in place. Where we would have fallen down is because we did not have enough time with the review pending to demonstrate our effectiveness in regulating that legislative framework. And so we received partially compliant ratings in three areas, and that led to our overall general partially compliant rating. And there are 10 areas in which we were rated. All of the other areas we received either largely compliant, and the majority of them were deemed to be compliant. For the EU is not an international organization. The EU is a bloc, a trading bloc of countries. And the EU has also taken it upon themselves that they are going to more or less be part of the world police as it relates to these types of matters. And they have their own process. And part of their process is that if a country receives a partially compliant rating, then they are going to blacklist that country. The government would have made steps. We would have had discussions with the EU in order to explain the unfairness of that conclusion, particularly in light of the circumstances within which Barbados found itself, not just in relation to COVID, but the fact that we had no legislative defects, and it was simply a matter of observing us over time to see how effective we were in our regulation. And the Prime Minister and the Minister of International Business, the Honourable Ronald Toppin, we would have made representations to the EU that Barbados not be placed on the blacklist, but be placed on what they call the grey list, which is for a period of observation. The World Bank has done that, given us 1 year to observe, as well as the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. And so one would have thought that that would have been the just and humane thing to do. However, the EU has taken the position that no, Barbados will go on the blacklist because we received the partially compliant rating. They have, however, said that should Barbados receive the affirmative or the nod in a request for a supplementary review, that pending the outcome of that review, Barbados will then be moved from the blacklist to the gray list. And so we have applied to the Global Forum, not just because we want the EU to move us from the blacklist, but because we believe that we have done more than enough in demonstrating our effectiveness, and we continue to do so, and that we warrant a regrading. And that is why we've applied for the supplementary. It's going through the process at this point in time, and we will know shortly what the outcome of that process is. So hopefully that short intervention has brought some clarity. I want to say that Barbados is a member of the Global Forum, and we are not a member of the EU. And the Global Forum and the Organization for Economic Construction and Development, the OECD, is the internationally accepted, recognized body for our standard setting as it relates to tax matters. And we subscribe to that. We do not, in of itself, subscribe to the EU. However, the EU's measures obviously have effects, primarily the blacklisting. And so, as also as our trade partners, we also work as best as we can along with the EU to make sure that we comply as far as possible with what is being proposed by the EU. But there are differences between the EU standard and the OECD standard. So hopefully that is that brings a little bit of clarity in relation to the AML issues. We were blacklisted by another arm of the EU called DG Justice. And that was in relation to the fact that we were on the FATF, Financial Action Task Force, gray list coming out of our mutual evaluation report. And that's all I will say on that. Suffice it to say that there's a team that is working very hard and ably led and managed by Michelle Greenidge under the direction of the Honorable Attorney General, working to make sure that Barbados comes off of that list and that we are re-rated in the different areas that we've done work in. So hopefully that can give it some context and clarify any misconceptions.
Excellent. You set out to be clear, and to me, in my opinion, you were very clear. So I think that you would have achieved that in terms of bringing some clarity to that specific part of what our discussion thus far this morning. We're only on for like 12 more minutes, so feel free to stay on air. If you have any other callers, we will conference them in. But I really want to get to the messages. You could probably chime in. And of course, I want to give the Beaver Falls the opportunity also to make sure you shout out the persons who made this possible. I give you the opportunity to do that at your leisure. But I want to talk back to something in terms of the WhatsApp question in relation to prosecutions and in terms of requirements.
I know you said stay on, but this is Bieber's call for Global this week. So I'm going to excuse myself.
No problem. I gave you the option to. If you have to go, it's not a problem. As a resource person that may want to come in. But if you've made your point, you want to go, feel free. It's not a problem.
Yeah, and if I'm needed, both Caramel and Derek can WhatsApp me. They both have my numbers.
So all right. No problem. No problem. Okay. Not a
Thank
problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. The WhatsApper said, you know, we do not provide the information. We do not have to provide this information to KIPO when we register. It's only if an audit is done. And that goes back to the point about the lack of requirement to register public stakeholders. So, he's gone, but that's something probably could have put to them as they try to seek to get us off the list in terms of having some requirement for that. We do not prosecute under the Proceeds and Instrumentalities of Crime Act, which is like the Proceeds of Crime Act, as we popularly known. We need to step out of our echo chamber. That is what this writer is saying. So those are two things that they're highlighting that can be done. And I'm sure you folks at Biba and also the director that just went off can actually consider. And as you all have your conference, these are things I'm sure these are going to come up. And I'm glad that we're discussing it here on Brass Tacks, because it gives the wider audience, the wider public, an opportunity to actually start to think and consider these things that go on behind the scenes. I don't know if y'all want to reply quickly to that before I get to a number of other messages that are sent here to you guys.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly say that we thank Kevin for having come on and to point out that we are actually going to ventilate this much more thoroughly during our conference. Mm-hmm. We have a session on the very first day on the Wednesday called Regulatory Update, where he and the new president of the Senate, who has been who's going to be working directly with the Attorney General's office, Senator Reginald Farley, on the matter of the AML blacklisting, where they're to fully discuss these blacklistings and the approaches that Barbados is taking both on the tax side and the AML side to tackle this and to get off the list. So anybody who is interested in really being able to understand what the government's approach is to both of these blacklistings, we encourage them to register for our conference. Today is the final day for registration. They can go on our website. If you've been listening to the ads that have been playing, www.gbw.biba.bb, and fulfill the registration there. We take online payments via credit card, so it's really a quick and seamless process. So that having been said, Derek, would you like to add anything else?
No, that's fine. Carry on. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. This one says, question to the panel. Given that the IBC, I guess it means International Business Companies, will have to be Bajan companies as of 2021, will that mean that they will now sell their services or products locally? I also have the same issue that was spoken about if transferring from a U.S. bank to a bank in Honduras because the company is registered here. The narration is because of the sanctions on Barbados. Any quick response to that?
In terms of the IBCs converting to a regular domestic business company, it is possible, but and I think Derek can go into this more, but in order to actually qualify to get the concessions, some of the concessions, you would still have to be an FCP, a foreign currency permit company. And that would mean that you need to have 100% of your earnings coming in foreign currency. So therefore, yes, it is possible for you to participate in the domestic market. It would therefore mean that you are then going to be putting yourself out of certain concessions, tax concessions, et cetera, which are available to you if you were earning 100% in foreign currency. Derek, would you like to say anything more about that?
Well, that's very good. Again, while we took the ring fencing down to same size, all of our companies here, there are, as you said, some idiosyncrasies, one is here in the law, that would want a IBC come RBC with a FCP. That's a lot of abbreviations. So a domestic company with the foreign currency permit, you have that permit, so you enjoy some of the privileges that you would have in the past. But as Cameron said, your declaration is that you are earning 100% in foreign currency. So that will still somewhat limit the ability to play to everybody in on the local landscape. So that's on the foreign currency and the domestic company side. There was a part two to that question. What was that?
It had to do with the transferring of money because the sanctions on privacy difficulties.
Yeah, another example. Please, all of you, contact the BIBA again. The number 537-2422. The website for the BIBA alone, Carmel, is what? BIBA.BIBA.BB. Tell me that.
Yep, the website is www.biba.bb, but mm-hmm. Also encourage if anybody doesn't want to call, they can definitely email us at biba@biba.bb. So it's biba@biba.bb. Because as Derek said, the more that we can get examples such as these when we are in or private sector association meetings, when we're in our social partnership meetings, when we're meeting with the Minister of International Business and his team, the same Kevin Hunt who was on earlier and the Permanent Secretary, it's important for us to have these real life examples to be able to fuel the submissions that they are also making onward in terms of how this is impacting us in real time.
All right, this next one says, if Barbados is on the blacklist, then the U.S. should be on the blacklist also. because they have certain people there that have more suspicious financial activities than Barbados collectively. I think I know who they're talking about. There's a big shout out and thanks from some university students listening. They're doing the topic at the master's level and they will be contacting you. The one in specifically says, my project is how can we commission ICTs to aid in our financial system to avoid being blacklist. I want to thank you all for the program. I'm collecting a wealth of information. And that is a student from university.
That's really encouraging to hear. And that's one of the reasons that during Global Business Week, you know, we take to the airwaves, we take to the newspapers, because we want as many people to be sensitized to the issues. What are the implications? And also, you know, what are the benefits of having this sector here? I know we've talked a lot about the challenges today, but there are really, really tangible benefits to having the sector here. And in terms of, I'm happy that there are university students listening, because one of the things that we like to say is the fact that having the sector here also helps combat brain drain, because many people, you know, they look at what's happening overseas and they look at the sort of glamour on Wall Street and they think that they might have to relocate in order to be able to be involved in this high paced, you know, international trading and all this sort of thing. But there are companies here with their, you know, who are trading internationally. They've got all their Bloomberg screens and everything, and they're moving transactions around the world, et cetera. So you can do some of these sophisticated trades right here, some of these sophisticated legal transactions as well. You know, we have one of our members who was, actually two of our members who were linchpins for transactions that were going between, you know, here, Luxembourg, Cayman, and they were a very important part of that transaction. So we are really a part of global business from right here in Barbados. And there are many young Barbadians who can get that experience. I mean, Derek himself has been working in the financial industry and in international financial industry for 2 decades from right here in Barbados, you know, so it is possible.
All right. Let's take another. This one says, excellent program, breath of fresh air from the so often petty issue calls. Thanks. This one says, maybe if it was easier to do business, there won't be much blacklisting. Corey, Barbados needs to look at its entire financial system and change it. It is really hard to do business in Barbados with all the regulations that are in place. You can't even transfer money from one bank to another, different banks. You have to do a wire transfer. That is so old school. In North America, you can e-transfer to anyone by just sending an email. You don't hear anyone talking about how to make banking and investing easier. That's the problem. A whole donkey year to get things done. How do you expect to get ahead if it takes so long? How then are people expected to pay their mortgages from overseas?
I mean, there are initiatives. Private sector, and also look at our central bank is trying to lead the way in digital banking. So new technologies, new ways of moving money, real clean, safe money are on the cards and are being developed locally. So these new technologies have to be a way forward, have to be the way that we see ourselves going forward. For now, we're stuck with the SWIFT way of doing money, SWIFT, but we are trying to find new fintech ways to transact. And look, just stay on board. They're coming. The central bank is committed to it. I know the government advisors are committed to it. And the technologies are being built and proposals are being made and being laid. So yes, we have those difficulties, but technology will be one way to guide us out of it. So definitely we expect our Barbados and our providers and our companies to learn and to get on board with new technologies, learn to code, learn to program, let's teach these things in schools at all levels. And that's the stuff that BIBA is promoting, that we properly direct our educational system to build out the new technologies whereby these things can also happen here in Barbados.
I actually,
Agreed. And I would, sorry. No, I was going to say, I'd like to, in our, you know, last few moments, I really would like to also bring this back to the conference again, because, for example, we are going to have a topic on targeted graduates supporting current and future global business opportunities, where we've invited one of the Pro Vice Chancellors, the principal of the Open Campus of the University of the West Indies, to let us know how they are really treating to the sort of new opportunities are opening up and how they're creating the graduate for tomorrow to be able to really respond to those needs.
In your last few minutes, I actually want you to touch on that as you respond to these next two. I'm going to read just two more and I'll give you the rest of the time basically to close, not just with a message of hope, but a message of truth to where the Biba and the Barbados International Business can take us. This one says, "Dear Corey, is our worldview of this OECD matter too simplistic? Given the utterances of the British official of our links to China during our move to a republic, given the use of the Cuban nurses during the COVID crisis, given our lack of running cap in hand to Europe or the U.S. during COVID, given our recent CDC guidelines to U.S. citizens to travel to Barbados, is this a case of Barbados being seen as too uppity? Is it we are being encouraged to remember our place in the world pecking order?" This is how people are thinking. This last one says, "Morning, sir, to you and your guests. The real issues are that Barbados and other countries in the Caribbean are being targeted. The main reason is for the offshore businesses that these countries attract around $150 billion, and the OECD wanted these offshore businesses to return to their home bases. Then a prediction was made that the Caribbean would become the poorest nations in the region, or that would be in the world. I guess that you guys are off track of the real issues. If you doubt me, you will see it happening." So over to you guys.
Let's again, very quickly, this needs half an hour, but very quickly, motivated reasoning. They have their outcome that they want. They have the end post, and they're going to reason every attack to get to that final outcome, the annihilation of our international business sector, because they want us coming hand and cup in hand. You remember, you know, when you have a big family, I'm speaking quickly now because we have no time. You have a big family gathering and the adults are at one table and the kids at the other. Barbados earned its spot at the adult table. Okay? Not cup in hand, we earned our spot, but we've done too well. We've done better than expected in their eyes, and we're trying now to smack us back down to the kiddies table. That's the truth. Your writers are correct. That is real. Can I very quickly say to our sponsors, we thank you. Even in these times now, we have great sponsorship for our conference. Invest Barbados, RBC Capital Markets, Central Bank of Barbados, Tricor Caribbean, Ernst & Young, Seidel Banking Trust, Let's Caribbean, Attorneys at Law, Clark Gittins & Farmer, Ministry of International Business, London Capital, SECO, every year SECO, we thank you, Brookfield International Bank, Fortress Fund Managers, PwC, that is PricewaterhouseCoopers. We thank our sponsors that even in these times, they are given, because they see the value in the week, in the conference, and they see the value in Biba's work and the value in this sector here in Barbados. Carmel, over to you, please.
I'm sorry, did I just wanted to, I think KPMG, I can't remember if you mentioned KPMG, but we also thank them as well. They're another regular sponsor that comes on every year.
All right, and so, I have just enough time to
thank you so much, Corey. Oh, sorry.
Thank you very much. That's the Executive Director Biba Caramel Haynes for Global Business Week 2020, and of course, President Derek Cummings. I want to thank you, and best of luck with the remaining of your Global Business Week. Thank you, and thank you for being on Down to Brass Tacks.
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's time for the latest, the Starcom Network News, right? Well, good afternoon. Time to get down to brass tacks. I'm your host, Corey Lane. I want to thank all of you for your messages and calls of well wishes. Those of you who thought I was pushed or I had jumped or I had COVID and all the rest of it, I'm still here. You'll catch me every few Sundays on Brass Tacks Sundays. So I guess rumors of my demise were greatly exaggerated. So give us a call now. The lines are free. We have the folks in from Biba from 10 until 12:30, and it's time for the general program. Remember, you can give us a call 434-1790. give us a call right now or send your WhatsApp to 266-4862. Again, getting these WhatsApps, time we get in the calls. And remember, we just got about an hour left for today, so let's make it count. Let's go to the WhatsApps right now. This one, this person sends a video, a recording of what's happening in ZR. And he is saying, the 30-second recording is from a minivan. I am on my way going to Spikestone right now. And I politely ask them to please turn down the radio, which the conductor just gave a fling off his hand motion, and nothing has changed. But when you make these reports to the transport authority, nothing happens. And in 3 months down the road, they will call you and ask you to come into their office and make a report, and nothing happens. I am tired and sick of the rhetoric from the government of Barbados about PSVs. PSVs doing as they like, and nothing is happening. That's the first WhatsApp. This other one sends a video of water gushing and say, good morning, sir. This was reported over 3 months now, and the Barbados Water Authority just wasting time. This is in Lightfoot Lane, one of the gaps off the Baxter's Road. And you know how much water that is that's just wasting. And the persons in the neighborhood said they call the BWA over 9 times. I live in St. John, and I can't get water. Couple of questions. Yes, it's great to be back here on the week. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This one says, I was listening to a question you had on today about what can be done so Barbados will not be blacklisted, I guess in response to COVID. Barbados just needs to change the format of how we give our COVID numbers, and that one is going on about some other things. So those are some of the issues being raised on the WhatsApp. Let's see what you, the callers, have to say. We say good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Master Lynn.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, I'm calling to basically give some commentary on some remarks that I heard on a political platform for the recent by election. I heard some members of the governing party referring to one of their members' political. I want to find the right word. I want to use the word they used.
All right, two things. So we have a smooth ride. There's a beeping in the background. It's a little distracting. If you could get away from that, that'd be good. And two, a little rusty, but I know that we can't campaign, but we could discuss political things. So my producer looking a little nervous already, right? But let me go down the road. I know this sounds like a very sensible voice. You go down there. Let me go.
We ain't campaigning at all.
All right, good.
I am hearing some sentiments that some people have political lineage, like pedigree, political pedigree. That's the word that I was hearing on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. And I think for descendants of slaves and people that have been educated, and a lot of our politicians have risen from humble beginnings to ascend the seats of parliament, for people to be coming back with this elitist mentality talking about political pedigree, I think it's a slap in the face for working class Barbadians. I would really like the Prime Minister and her cohorts to move away from this elitist political pedigree line that they are going down. I think it's classless. It has no place in 21st century politics in Barbados. And I would like to know what you think of it as a man come from humble beginnings yourself.
No, I definitely agree with you. I actually would like to see a whole revolution in the whole political sphere of Barbados and the world. And this is where I would start to get some darts thrown at my head as being naive and going to utopia and so on, right? Now, for me, a lot of the comments that I've heard recently and on political platforms for years, from Corned Beef and Biscuits, Fatty Calf, and the idiot, and for me, I never like any of that. And that is why I was part of the Barbados Youth Parliament. I never part any youth parliament, any party at all, because I believe that the standard at which a lot of politics occur right across the world, right, leaves a lot to be desired. There are a lot of issues.
One more thing, Mr. Lynn.
No, you asked me a question. You must allow me to answer it. There are a lot of issues that need tackling in this country and across the world that affect people daily. Like I talked about some last week in terms of wealth creation, you know, doing better by your fellow man. But for me, politicians and political pundits and what they refer to in a derogatory comment as your foes like to pick out a lot of foolishness. At the end of the day, they don't move the needle for a one man, woman, or child in this country. And it is just, it is hurt me. It is really hurt me.
I agree. One more thing. A couple months ago, there was a young man. He was being interviewed on television, and he made some grammatical errors. And people would have laughed at him a lot on social media. I remember the Prime Minister came out, and she condemned that behavior, said that you should not laugh at the young man. And he was featured having a conversation with her, actually, highly featured in the news. And lo and behold, last night or a couple of nights ago, on the said political platform, I can hear the very Prime Minister insulting the Democratic Labour Party's candidate for not being able to speak fluently.
Mm-hmm. But you insulting what was said exactly? Because I didn't get to follow any of the platforms. Thank God.
The clip that is going around on social media, mm-hmm. The Prime Minister can be heard making sport out of the flat. That floor. I think it is very unfortunate that the Prime Minister of the governing party, seeing that the last party would have went in the gutter with them, mm-hmm. and was condemned for it, mm-hmm. by their pundits, so they need to learn from their own behaviors, you know?
I agree.
This foolishness.
I definitely agree with you, and not just for this campaign. You got to go right across the board. Man, deal with issues, no? I mean, people
I
just
agree.
Come and deal with these
issues.
Things, and we can't get together in 2020 and pretend that political campaigning and things is a Sunday school, and we can get and sing Kumbaya. I ain't an idiot. My head is not in the sand, but I know at the same time, we got to go high and not go low. So I agree. Thank you
all
very
right,
much.
Brother. Thank you.
Down to Brass Stats. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I am fine. And you, sir?
I am in terrific health, but good. Not in good spirits.
All right, tell me.
And I am glad to hear what you said just now to the other gentleman, because I wanted to lean on the whole political thing very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. I too feel that it's time that we make some drastic changes in Barbados, and I am very disappointed that after all these years of proper primary and secondary education, and we have produced people with tremendous intelligence, academically at least, but I know that our intelligence runs far past just academics, that we cannot find the solutions to our challenges. Mm-hmm. The first mm-hmm. thing that needs to change around here, Corey, is our political position. And I think this is a good time to entertain the discussion, because we're talking about changing the Constitution mm-hmm. for all sorts of reasons, to get into being a republic and all that. So let me look at things critically. I think party politics has outlived its usefulness, and I think it has actually gone on the other side of the meter. I think it has now become dangerous. How can somebody who has a job to do but prefers to present themselves as a party candidate be objective and impartial? Don't try to fool me, because I know better than that. I've been around too long. Okay? I know it cannot work. How can somebody who has a job to do but prefers a particular party do a job that goes against the party line? The minute you join a party, your personal opinion becomes subject to your own bedroom and your own household. Because you've got to follow the party leaders. Whoever the leader or leaders are, you have to follow that lane. So if you go to lane, you will be a backbencher, or you will get a point somewhere else with no voice and no opportunity to perform. I propose, and I don't have all the answers for you, so forgive me, but I would like to simply propose that party politics be abandoned and abolished, that representation comes from the locality, and that the person who represents a constituency, for want of a better word, and even I think that should be changed, is a person who gives the people, the electorate, an opportunity to hear his or her voice and positions on certain topics. When we get to the parliamentary voting, it's going to be done among a lot of democratic lane, because they don't know that there's a better way to do it anymore. But that is the extent of your contribution. Okay, I am not saying party people the big set of money, because you put up your hand and say, I want to serve my country. So I ain't giving you this $20,000 and $30,000 a month. I'm going to make sure that you don't starve and you don't become a pauper because of your position. But I think that all of that has to change. And the result of whatever the vote is, okay, goes down to an executive body. We call them civil servants now. them do their job. Let them be the people who make the policy things happen. Forget about this joining about party. Because as long as I belong to a party, I got to follow the party line. And in Barbados, politics get put some things before propriety.
No, we can go a challenge between the ideal and reality, a big battle, right? Because were you talking about, I spoke about some years ago, when we talk about the fact that these national politicians who would actually just do the work on behalf, like almost like professionals, as opposed to the tribal politics, right? So the same thing you're talking about, I believe that representation should come from people who truly want to represent a community and a constituency. Now, people get vexed, but let me get on the brass side, let me tell you the truth. How many people put up their hand to get involved in this thing, politics in the world, actually interested in representing people? And then main thing does be people. Ask yourself that question. And answer it yourself too, because nobody can say it. I say, when I can say it is, when I answer that, to thine own self be true. That, so I agree with you. And then you caucus on issues in a national assembly. So it's kind of like a round table instead of two sides go across swords. Because in this year, we ain't get licks for this, sir. But don't worry. We about all right. We can be all right. We got alligator skin. No, let me go, sir. Let me tell you now. Let me tell you my concern and then I'll let you finish up. When you have a country, right, in the U.S. and in Barbados, who was almost against itself before the last election, 50-50, 16-40. Half of the country trying to do, and half of the country trying to undo and sabotage at the same time in a small country like this. And you got that going on every 5 years in rotation. How can a country progress? And Barbados has done well in spite of that and not done well because of that. And that's what we want people to understand. So, yes, you go on, sir.
Well, let me answer the question that you raised earlier. And I would suggest to you, because I know some people personally, I feel quite a number of people, I haven't done any research, so forgive me. I believe quite a number of people get involved in politics with a pure heart. Mm-hmm. But after you get involved in party politics, that pure heart gone because you no longer have a choice. You've got to follow the party. And
so you feel there's a change in the heart, or you feel it is a beating back in the system? Because a lot of these things,
it's the system, correct.
Can't get things done.
It takes you along. You cannot get things done. So you either get frustrated and cave in, or you get frustrated and you become a backbencher or some other kind of party loser. Okay, but that's just how it is. Who wants to go into a situation and lose? You're not going to feel good doing that, so you're going to probably follow the line. And that's the end of you and your representation for me as part of the electorate. Mm-hmm. And you know the one elixir you can get? Oh, but where else in the world this is happening? I don't care. Mm-hmm. We breed people in this country that I am proud to say I'm a Barbadian, a God. Good intelligence, good academic background, and can argue a case on any world stage. Don't tell me that we got to follow everything that the U.S. does or that they do in Afghanistan or Brazil. We don't. We have to follow the tenets of our own requirements for this country.
Like, as predicted here on my phone, some friends of mine, and he's got these debates with them too. Somebody be talking bare foolishness. They're upon the attack, probably. You know, I know it would have come. We phone here lighting up, man. But I endanger too, because I agree with some of what you're saying.
But Corey, over the history that we have read, even although we get fooled with a lot of it, a lot of people were called stupid. And we now flying in airplanes and using a personal computer.
And turning on
so
a light.
Don't tell me about it. And turning on a light. So don't tell me about I flying in dreamland. A lot of people's dreams are now all reality. Mm-hmm. So you can make anything happen that you want to happen. And I'm living proof of that.
But
so
I want ease you back. Let me ease you back into reality, though, in terms of what the system we have now. How can we operate in the now? Because what you're talking about is a distance away. And they don't want to be fearful anymore because COVID taught us that things that we talk about for 20, 30 years can happen overnight when it absolutely need to. You understand? We got to break down the four walls, right? But in the system that we got right now, what can be done to improve it? What can be done for us to actually operate?
Well, the first thing we have to do is to give the Auditor General some tea. That's one of the things we have to do. Because if you got a job and you find something wrong, and all you can do is find it wrong, and the report goes into a drawer. I used to run a company where there were a lot of things wrong, but all the reports went to the wrong person, and it used to get filed in the drawer, and nothing happened until idiot box let me turn it. And start to stir up trouble. So if you've got people who have a job to do, give them a chance to do their job, and somebody has to follow up on that, on the errors of whoever fall apart. somebody got to be able to follow on that and bring it back to common sense. I don't think that you need to change the constitution to give somebody peace, like you are as a general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am big on locking up people because I think prison is wrong anyhow. But I am big on getting it right. We have enough talent, skill, and intelligence in this country to get things a lot more right than they currently are going. And I believe politics is what stands in its place, every single thing. Don't tell me we don't know who's bringing in guns. Guns ain't coming in and they're always under the cloak of darkness. We know that there's a gun trade going on. But there are people in this country who are probably untouchable. That's politics. You understand what I'm saying?
No, that's an interesting thing for me, one for me, because I honestly believe that, yes, the commissioner of police some years ago saying, you know, they have some idea of how the guns, they need some cooperation here and there. Obviously, they cannot go into specifics because of the sensitive nature of this thing. But I don't believe at the police level and so on, that they absolutely know when, where, and how the guns coming in. Even if you say they got a few bad apples in every profession, and there are a few, I don't think it is a mainstream thing. I believe that everybody in Barbados got enough common sense to know when you, at that level, facilitate the guns coming here, that at the end of the day, one of them bullets out of one of them guns could, if not touch you directly, touch you very indirectly with a very close family member. And if they don't know that, they need to wake up to it.
But it has not yet happened, and that's why nobody has barely cared. But the first day that a big person gets hurt by their own, you know, their own state business, that's when, you know, somebody will get locked up. But next, you know the other challenge with politics being involved, right? When the problems don't affect you, you are not fully motivated to do anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you are a big shot, you probably do have two guns and you got licenses for them. You probably got four big dogs and you are protected. So the fact that a man can break in your house is not a problem to you. It's a problem to me because I ain't got no gun and no dog.
I can tell you why at times. And we could go a little bit because we got free board. Anybody want to give us a call, give us a call right now. If you always wanted a call and you complain because of the regular callers you can get on, now is the time to call. Because we finished the Bieber program and we got free line now. We ready to go. I can tell you why that kind of shift. And it shifts from time to time, right? Now, before, a lot of the killing was gang on gang. Block on block.
Right.
Bad boy on bad boy, right? But when you see in Barbados now, people got this brazen nature where they will go and break into a place during the day. They don't care. You can happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
When you see
the shooting at Kropo of about 21, 22 people get shoot. That ain't a block on block. All them people didn't involve in that.
No.
When you look at Sheraton Center, get shoot up. Now everybody's passed through a little Sheraton Center and going to buy a little thing here or there. You understand what I mean? So then people start to recognize that when the country goes too far down, that at the end of the day, it will affect all of us because we could be walking anywhere at any time and feel the wrath of these lawless, reckless people at the end of the day. So it's not to say you bigger, you got two guns and three dogs, unless you plan to live inside your house like a prisoner behind your burglar bars. You got to understand, we in this together.
Years ago, when I used to go to Trinidad regularly, I have some friends who happen to be wealthy. How they live was in a gated community with a guard at the gate with a weapon and guards patrolling their fancy houses. On those who lived on the seaside, and their children went to school in a federal security guard in the car. I have no desire to live like that.
Right
now, I live in a house, and every noise I hear at night, I have to jump up and see if there's somebody.
But let me ask those people a question. They can stay there forever? They ain't going to the beach?
That is no quality of life.
That's called house arrest.
Exactly. So, you know, and a lot of times, and I heard another moderator on the same station suggest the other day that we need to fix things now. We can't be dealing with
down
the road. But if we don't deal with down the road now, how we will ever get down the road?
Listen, the horse done bought long. Right now, we got to work with the foals and the yearlings here. Because the foal, the stallion done gone in St. Lucie looking to jump off the cliff.
Long thing,
so I agree with you, sir. My thanks for riling up the lines.